Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground, presented by Ram Trucks. Guts, glory, Ram.
Touchdown, Arizona!
The latest news and notes from the guys who cover the team.
Somebody open the front door! Stevens Howling's coming in!
Oh, baby!
Wells runs over a defender, knocks his helmet off, and gets into the end zone for a touchdown.
From Cardinals headquarters in Tempe,
Adrian Wilson just ate his liver with fava beans and a fine Chianti.
Touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
This is football at its finest.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
You know, I was going to start this edition of Cardinals Underground here on azcardinals.com, as always brought to you by Ram Trucks, Guts, Glory, Ram, by asking you, Darren Urban.
Yes.
Could you go more than 30 seconds without trying to stay real time? You know, without trying to stay connected? Because, you know, it's one of those fluid situations at this point in the season. But as I look to my left, there is Ron Wolfley, who cannot go more than a few seconds without checking his Twitter account. He's right there. He's staying connected right here, the Wi-Fi in the executive boardroom via his tablet. And so I'm not sure who I'm more concerned about. Yeah, you, Darren Urban, or Ron Wolfley. Maybe I'll just give those two microphones to Jim Omohundro and we'll get going here on Cardinals Underground.
You know what, Paulie? I am young, I am crunk, and I am with it.
Really? Okay. Wolf, delusion is free in America, and it's perfectly legal. So go right ahead. That's you're okay over there. That's no problem about that.
Where are we exactly going in this podcast?
You Darren, know, I was going to ask the same
question.
Would you
like to take over?
So let's leave it to Darren. Two out of three, you're the one left. It's musical chairs, Darren Urban. You're the one left standing. Go ahead. How do you want to start on this one?
Well, I mean, I guess with what everything has been going on the last few days, I mean, don't we have to talk about the quarterback situation and what we saw or what we didn't see in New York? And, you know, obviously Ryan Lindley getting his chance to play, and it's looked so good those first two quarters for him, and then the last six have just not been good at all.
I guess here's my question, or here's one question to chew on, and it's sort of like the Falcons game. How many points do you think the Cardinals should have wound up with? I mean, legitimately, realistically, you ended up with two field goals. I don't know, I mean, if you didn't have a rookie quarterback making his starting debut.
Well, Paulie, again, you know, I look at the entire season right now and quarterback play, capable quarterback play. I'm not talking about all pro caliber. I'm not talking about Pro Bowl. I'm not talking about great. I'm just talking about capable quarterback play right now really has been the downfall for the Arizona Cardinals this season. You look at the fact when Kevin Cobb was out there and he was playing well, guess what? The Arizona Cardinals were capable, and they could play, I thought at the time, with anybody in the league because of that defense, because of their special teams. He was capable. He provided the Cardinals with a capable option at quarterback. And it just has not been the case since. And, you know, because of that, it's hard to quantify. How many points could the Arizona Cardinals have scored against the New York Jets? I don't know. How many could they have scored if Kevin Cobb played the entire game against the Buffalo Bills? How many points could they have scored with Kevin Cobb against Minnesota? How many points could they have scored against the Atlanta Falcons? I don't know, but I do know if they got capable quarterback play, I think this team right now at the very, very bare bones minimum would probably be 7-5. So who knows how many points they could have scored against the Jets, but you would imagine you're going to do better than 0-15 on third down, which the Arizona Cardinals were against the New York Jets. And because of that, one would assume that was a winnable game with capable quarterback play.
I would say that I would have expected them to score more than six, and definitely more than seven, which the way it turned out would have been enough. Now, yeah, the Jets probably could have scored there at the end had they wanted to, or if they had been making the attempt to. But, you know, I agree with Wolf. I mean, it's one of those things where we can play the what if game a lot, and we don't know sometimes how these other teams are approaching how to attack the Cardinals. Because they know that the Cardinals aren't going to be able to generate a lot of offense, so maybe they're doing some things differently too. We don't know these things, and you know, you can play the what if game a lot. You know, I'm sure the Seattle Seahawks, this week's opponent, are still sitting back going, how did we not win that first game in Arizona? And that's one of the Cardinals' few wins. And you know, the Seahawks are saying, hey, if we had just gotten capable wide receiver play,
sure,
in the last 2 minutes, that we win that game. So you can do that a lot, but But unfortunately, when you're left to where the Cardinals are right now and you're doing a podcast about the Arizona Cardinals on Cardinals Underground, you're going to talk about, you know, what ails the Cardinals. And right now, it's going to be a lot of what ifs because there haven't been a lot of whats.
And we were in New York, and I think you guys would agree that considering the crowd, the Jets fans were booing Mark Sanchez during warmups an hour and a half before the game. He was hearing it from the fans that that entire stadium was ready to turn against the hometown team.
Yeah.
You come out, you take a 10-0 lead, maybe a 14-0 lead.
Agreed.
And, those fans are ready to mutiny. And so, you know, that obviously did not happen, and it was a game till the very end. The Cardinals lose 7-6. Where do you think Ryan Lindley struggled the most? Just accuracy? Did it go beyond that?
Well, I mean, without knowing exactly what was going on, that's a hard – I mean, all I can do is – see what everybody else sees. I mean, I do think that accuracy, which unfortunately was one of the things that people talked about when he was in college, some accuracy questions. I thought he, from what little I had seen of him going in, I thought he'd be more accurate than John Skelton before he started getting a chance to play. I'm not totally sold on that right now. I mean, there were definitely some times when he's got open guys, and, you know, again, this is some of the problems that John Skelton falls into. At least give your guy a chance. I mean, especially with Larry, the problem becomes is it's one thing when you don't complete passes. It's another thing when you're not completing passes because they're so far off the mark that you're not even giving him a chance to make some great one-handed catch. And I think that's what I see right now.
I think his accuracy, Ryan Lindley, of course, I'm speaking of, I think his accuracy suffered for a couple of things. Number one, it was the context in which he was playing quarterback in that game. And the context was, we are coming after you. It was Rex Ryan, and it was a context of pressure. We know that Ryan Lindley struggled against the St. Louis Rams in the second half of that game because they were bringing an awful lot of pressure. Well, Rex Ryan took the pressure knob and turned it all the way to the right. He turned it into the red. They brought a lot of different complex pressure packages on Ryan Lindley, and that was the context he was operating in, and I think that had a negative effect on him. I think he was operating in a condition where he knew he might be a little overwhelmed, and I think that impacted his accuracy, compounding the context in which he was operating in. I think, and Wiz talked about this all week, but Wiz also made comment to the fact, and it looked like there was a lot of miscommunication on the field between his receivers as well. Now maybe that was more Ryan Lindley than it was his receivers, but Wiz said, hey, we didn't help him out very much either. There were some blown or busted routes by some of the receivers out there. If in fact that's happening within the context of pressure, and here we come and we're coming after you, and now you've got a miscommunication problem as well with your receivers, that's not going to give him any confidence at all to deal within that context of pressure. And I think that's more than anything else what really impacted his accuracy.
I know coming off the field at halftime, you know, the first question of Ken Wisenhunt walking with him to the locker room was about the quarterback situation. And just paraphrasing what he said was, look, we're going to look and ask Ryan Lindley what he likes, you know, what he's comfortable with in that first half. We're going to go try and feature that in the second half. And, you know, it obviously was not effective for whatever reason. The Cardinals had 22 yards of offense in the second half. And, you know, Darren, Ken Wisenhunt was asked repeatedly after the game and then on Monday, and, you know, a change. How seriously did you consider it going to John Skelton? And he said he considered it, right?
No, he absolutely considered it. And he also talked a couple times about how he liked how Ryan Lindley understands the schemes of what they're trying to do. And how they want to execute it, and you know, it, for whatever reason, and the only thing I can guess right now is because he's a sixth round rookie and he hasn't had any experience. But translating what he understands on the sidelines and what he's supposed to do when you put it in the hyper super fast pressure filled situation of an NFL game, especially against a Rex Ryan defense, it didn't translate clearly. But that was his thought process, and you know, look, I know a lot of people were disappointed he didn't, you know, when I'm talking a lot of people, I'm talking about fans, disappointed he did not make a change in that game. You know, he had his reasons. We've talked many times about why he might be doing some of these things that he knows about John Skelton, and he wants to find out about Ryan Lindley. It's just, it's too bad because, you know how well the defense played for the Cardinals, and you know how close that game was, and it was obviously a winnable game in a lot of areas. I mean, no one's going to confuse the Jets with the New England Patriots right now.
And, you know, I know a lot of fans are saying, well, wait a minute, look at the boost the Jets got making the quarterback change from Sanchez to Greg McElroy. But, and it was. I mean, there was a palpable boost in energy in the stadium, and they definitely got some momentum. We were all there. But you're a home team. You're not going to get – I don't think you're going to get that boost in energy and momentum necessarily just by making a quarterback change like the Jets did, just by sort of giving the fans what they wanted and getting them out of their seats and getting them, you know, hooting and hollering and standing. So that's the only thing about that I would take issue with in some of the fans and some of the comments that I've heard out there. Do you think something else is at play, Wolf, at this point in the season? I mean, is there another reason perhaps Ryan Lindley finished the game?
You know, Paulie, I really don't know what to say about it. Obviously, it is my own opinion, my own observations here, but I know Ken Wisenhunt. I know he's an extremely confident coach, and I don't think, even though there are a lot of people that are so upset with Ken Wisenhunt right now, and people are actually talking about, hey, you know what, the Arizona Cardinals may need to make a move at the head coaching position at the end of the year. I think Ken Wisenhunt was looking at this game and saying, okay, this isn't just about winning a football game. It's also about 2013. I don't think Ken Wisenhunt is operating under the auspices of, if I don't do this, I'm going to lose my job. Now, look, I could be dead wrong on that. I could be. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I will tell you this right now. I think the Cardinals know what they have in John Skelton. I think they know what they have, and unfortunately, this is my observation. Again, I think it says, John, you're probably never going to be a starter in this league, or not anytime soon. And because of that, we're going to go out and find out about Ryan Lindley, because this kid has shown us an awful lot in practice. He did show us an awful lot in the first half against the Rams. He needs to deal against the blitz. He needs to show he can overcome pressure packages. He can deal with it. And the only way you're going to find out about Ryan Lindley is to leave him out there and play him and see if he'll respond and dig himself out of the pressure hole that he's put himself in, so to speak, if that makes any sense whatsoever. It was a low-scoring game. They were one play away from that happening with Ryan Lindley. And because of that, I think the Cardinals took the opportunity, knowing that at some point in time, I really do believe Kevin Cobb is going to play again this season. At some point in time, knowing he's going to come back, you know what you have in John Skelton. What do you say you find out what you might have in Ryan Lindley before that happens?
And how many times a year ago did John Skelton really play a poor first three quarters and all of a sudden, you know, find some magic and some momentum in the fourth quarter? And you know, perhaps that was part of the thinking as well, to see, all right, does Ryan Lindley have that ability after seeing the defense for three quarters, or perhaps starts dissecting them in the fourth quarter with the game on the line? And I can see all that rationale. So I guess the QB question goes now from who finished against the Jets to who's going to start against the Seahawks. And Wolf brought up Kevin Cobb. I guess that's the overriding quarterback question there, Darren, right?
Are we
going to see Cobb again this season?
Well, I mean, I know Wisenhunt said earlier this week, I sure hope so. And I think that's kind of the general feeling. I mean, nobody wants to get caught. And I think Kevin played solid football when he was in there. And I think at the end of his time before he got hurt, some of that was taken away, because that was at the height, I think, of the offensive line problems that this team was having, which really kind of messed him up, I think, and messed up the offense. Look, nobody's trying to confuse Kevin Cobb with Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees, and nobody in this room is trying to do that. But I do think that he showed that he's got something that they need right now. I think they absolutely could use him out there. The question is going to be, There's multiple questions, and they're all fair questions. The question is, at this point, have you seen enough of Lindley that you're willing to go ahead and put Kevin back in there? You know, what's the point of putting Kevin back in there? What's the risk of putting Kevin back in there health-wise? I mean, again, we're not talking about a guy who, you know, sprained a knee and you kind of have a good idea of how you can play with it and how that would work. We're talking about a guy who, you know, had his ribs separated from his sternum, and you know, what happens if he takes another nasty hit? And, you know, do you want to risk that as a human being? Do you want to risk that as a team? Especially, I mean, again, we're talking about 2013 and looking forward. I mean, there are a lot of questions going into, you know, next year. You know, one of which, again, what happens with the coaching staff and changes when you have a bad season? That's inevitable. Some kind of change. We don't know what that's going to be yet. I think some of it might have to do with how these last four games play out. That said, you're going to have to figure out some stuff with the quarterback. I mean, the way Kevin's contract is structured, he's probably going to have to – I shouldn't say probably. He's going to have to restructure his deal next year to come back. But, you know, if this team really wants him to be back, he's got leverage. You know, does he want to hit the free agent market? Do you still want to keep him around given his injury history? You know, it doesn't look good for the future of John Skelton here. He's, you know, he's going to be a free agent, you know, with everything that's happened. I don't know if that's happening. Is Ryan Lindley good enough? I mean, there's so many questions that need to be evaluated. And, you know, it would be nice to see Kevin back out there on the field so you can see a little bit more of him and kind of, in the context of this team, kind of get hey, yes, that's right. What I saw earlier in the year is that's what he is. He's not a great quarterback for the context of this team and what we can do. He's the guy we could use going forward if we wanted.
Is he a winning quarterback? That's my question. That is, okay, he may not be a Hall of Fame quarterback, may not be a Pro Bowl quarterback, may not be a franchise quarterback. Can you win games with this quarterback? At the end of the game, do you look at him and say, okay, he gave us a chance to win, instead of pointing to that position and saying, that's the reason we lost? That's what you're looking for, to right. me, especially with this defense.
I would agree with that.
That's so opportunistic. And so I think absolutely that's the reason why you would want to see Kevin Cobb again, whether it's one game or four games, to just sort of reaffirm, okay, and so what sure. we saw earlier isn't a fluke. He now has a knowledge of the offense as opposed to the lockout shortened season a year ago. Okay, so now we're seeing this, and now we know where we're going in the offseason, because guess what? It's not a strong quarterback draft, and teams aren't just letting good quarterbacks hit
Dang.
The open market.
Absolutely, Bully. No, that is a thing. There is a real possibility that Kevin Cobb, a restructured Kevin Cobb, could be your quarterback in 2013.
Ding back at you.
Exactly. To your point about the draft, just not a lot of answers in the draft at the quarterback this year, although it's incredibly deep at offensive line and pass rushers. Those are two areas the Arizona Cardinals are going to look at and be drooling as they look at some of these kids coming out at tackle in particular and as pass rushers. And, you know, so because you don't have the draft maybe and there's not a lot of free agent candidates as it stands right now, looking at some of the quarterback options that will be out there, there's not a lot of good alternatives that way either. Because of that, there's a real possibility that the Arizona Cardinals will move forward with a restructured Kevin Cobb. But yet at the same time, that is a huge question mark.
Yes.
Because Kevin Cobb may feel like, you know what, I think maybe if in fact that's what we're going to do, if you're going to ask me to restructure the contract, why don't you just go ahead and release me and maybe I'll go somewhere else. That's a real possibility
yes.
too. So
yes.
there's a lot of question marks here, but you know, we're not going to have the answers on that for weeks.
You know, Wolf, I know one of the stats, speaking of quarterbacks, as we transition to D, that you think is telling, if memory serves, is a quarterback rating against a defense, right? The opposing quarterback?
Yes.
Rating?
Absolutely.
So I had the intern, because this violates my rule, no math. Look at all these notes here. Look at all these numbers and figures. I had the intern
Goodness.
This morning go through every single opposing quarterback against the Arizona Cardinals this year and his quarterback rating, how it compared to the rest of his season.
Okay, Ooh, there you go.
I might want to steal that from you,
copious
Paul.
Notes coming from Paul Calvisi.
Mark Sanchez, worst of the season, second worst of his career. Matt Ryan, worst of the season, worst of his career. Aaron Rodgers, worst of the season. Christian Ponder, worst of the season. 9 of the 12 games that quarterbacks have started against this Cardinals defense had a lower rating than their season average. The only guy that really was off the hook is the guy who's no longer starting in San Francisco, Alex Smith, who had one incompletion and a QB rating of .157.
You're talking about defensive quarterback rating and Correct. The defensive quarterback rating for the Arizona Cardinals. There is no doubt about it. That is a great indicator. If you want to look at how does a team collectively defend the pass, look at defensive quarterback rating, because there's so many things that are hidden within that rating, such as coverage. You know, how are you covering? Do you have cover corners? Are you blowing a lot of assignments? Are there a lot of mental errors in your secondary? Well, listen, if you've got a good defensive quarterback rating, it says you've got guys who are capable, guys that can cover. You also are not blowing a lot of assignments back there. Obviously, you don't have a bunch of wide receivers running around uncontested, and it also embedded in the defensive quarterback rating, it also speaks to the amount of pressure or lack thereof that you're getting on an opposing quarterback. Well, we all know the Arizona Cardinals, despite not having a quote-unquote pass rusher, despite not having that guy, they're able to generate pressure, and they've done a great job, and they're one of the best teams in the league at getting to the quarterback. Now, again, how are they doing that? Well, it's not because they got four guys who are just better than your five guys, like the New York Giants. They're generating pressure because they're manufacturing pressure. That speaks directly to scheme, and it speaks directly to Ray Horton and the job that he's done with his defense. And now, with all of that, considering all of that with the DQBR, you're also taking the ball away from your opponent. This defense has been lights out. The only area they need to improve is in between the tackles and stopping the run.
Can I get a word about that Patrick Peterson interception? I know Carey had two, and he deserves a lot of accolades, but just the degree of difficulty on the Patrick Peterson INT. I'll tell you, from the sideline, it looked like a land-to-surface missile. I'm like, where did that come from? It was like a flyover, like one of those F-18 flyovers. I'm like, he just snatched that thing out of the air. And I can only assume, I did not have a detailed conversation with him in the locker room after the game. Was he baiting Sanchez on that?
I've heard a couple of people, I want to talk to him about him, and that idea, because I know it came up. A couple times it came, I think both on our broadcast and the television broadcast, and I want to ask him about it because I'm doing a bigger, larger story about it. But I'll be honest, when I first saw it, maybe he was baiting him, maybe he was. I mean, when I first saw it, I'm thinking to myself, you better kick on the jet, son, because you got beat. You got beat, and
ding.
I saw makeup speed. I saw a guy who got beat, and he just has enough natural talent to get back in the play. That's what I saw. Now, he might have been baiting him, but to me, I saw a guy who was able to use his natural talent to make up for a play that could have been a mistake.
You know what reminded me of my favorite movie, Gone in 60 Seconds, and where he hits the nitrous. Boom! All of a sudden, you get that boost, Wolf. It's beyond the turbo.
It's
unbelievable. It's the nitrous. It's the NOS.
I really thought he was baiting him. First of all, you've got to consider the receiver. It was Shillings.
Yeah.
He's running a post down the middle of the field. I think Patrick Peterson feels very comfortable that he could run with Mr. Shillings any day of the week. And it did appear to me, maybe it was just his incredible closing speed. And I know a lot of guys that have game speed, and then I know a lot of guys that have ball is in the air speed. And Roy Green was one of those guys. Roy Green would run as fast as he needed to run in order to get underneath the ball. If that meant he had to run a 4-1, that's exactly what he was going to run. Jerry Rice was also a guy. You put him on the clock, he's running a 4-6-5. Ball's in the air, suddenly Jerry Rice is running a 4-3. All right, Patrick Peterson, I don't know if he was baiting him or not. I know this much. If I were Patrick Peterson, I certainly wouldn't want that to get out. I certainly wouldn't want people to know that, that's exactly the kind of jets in the pants I have. I would not want anybody to know that I do that I go ahead and make a guy look like he is open, knowing that you're going to throw it, and then I'm going to come in and I'm going to swoop down like a falcon on a finch and pick it from the sky. I wouldn't want anyone to know that either.
Well, Brian Billick said it on the TV broadcast, I understand, that he thought, yes, indeed, Peterson was baiting Sanchez on that. And it's interesting, I heard Rex Ryan say in his post-game press conference,
said, that's probably the only time I'll ever agree with Brian Billick. Interesting.
Rex Ryan was lamenting all the turnovers in the game, and then he stopped himself and he threw out the Peterson interception, and he said, that wasn't the quarterback's fault. That's a phenomenal play by a young man. And he just took that one out of the equation and said, don't even include that in the quarterback stats, because any quarterback makes that throw right where it was. By the way, Kerry Rhodes did say he was baiting Sanchez, and they asked
him. Now, I will say this. Kerry Rhodes did look like he was baiting
him.
There's no question about
that. And he said he knew the play.
Yeah.
And they asked him, wait, from being a former Jet a couple of years ago, he said, no, just off the film. And he said, he just matter of fact, casually, I knew the play.
Both of his interceptions, he came he was well behind the receiver until the ball was thrown and jumped in front of him. He clearly was baiting him and clearly knew it was coming. And look, Carey had a fantastic game, and that's the one. I mean, obviously, it stinks for everybody that the Cardinals don't win that game, but that's one where you really would have liked to see the Cardinals win to kind of put the cherry on top of that homecoming, because Kerry Rhodes would have been a huge reason for it. He forced that fumble that really should have put them in position to get a touchdown and not a field goal.
Blood Farmer.
And then it was just, he had an unbelievable game. And if anybody ever asks me if players get up for playing a former team or in a certain situation, and somebody tries to tell me that it doesn't become an overriding factor sometimes, I'm just going to think of this game, because I think Kerry's had a very good season. I think he was playing at a possible Pro Bowl level before that, but there is no question he took his game to another level this past weekend.
Well, Jay Feely said in our post-game radio interview on the Cardinals radio network, he said, anybody who says that a player is lying. He said, I'll go on the record right now and say it. It was a big deal. And what was funny were the Jets fans in the front row who are riding all the Cardinals, including Kerry, before kickoff. By the end of the first quarter, and I'm quoting, Kerry, we miss you. We want you back. So the Jets fans had completely done a 180 in the front row there at the stadium. But, Wolf, the Cardinals defense gave up, what, $162 on the ground? Now, ultimately, the only number that counts is what's on the scoreboard. And what a defense gives up in terms of points, is this still a problem? Do you consider it a problem?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is. It is the way you play against the Arizona Cardinals defense. It is the game plan you've got to come in with, and I think we have seen that. You know, teams that want to remain three dimensional, teams know, look, if we come in here and we just throw the ball with impunity, we won't be throwing the ball with impunity. We will be spanked. We will be punished, because the Cardinals, again, to your defensive quarterback rating, Paul, and the numbers you are throwing out there, can you imagine that? The Cardinals pass defense is so prolific that 9 of 12 quarterbacks they have faced have their lowest quarterback rating of the year against that defense. So you've got to remain balanced when you play the Cardinals defense, and that means running the football and using play action. And I think the Jets wanted to be able to do that, but their options at receiver are just so limited that they weren't able to capitalize at all on throwing the ball off of play action.
Right, but unfortunately for the Cardinals, and it goes back to your point about stopping the run, I mean, that last drive, and I don't know if the Cardinals getting the ball back the way their offense was, they would have done anything with it. No, probably not. But, you know, the Jets were able to churn out first downs basically on the ground. There might have been a pass or two in there, but it was basically running when everybody knew they were going to run, including the Cardinals, and they couldn't stop them. And that's the disappointing part, even though they didn't get that last score. They even fell down on that last play where the Cardinals were going to try and let them score, you know, because the Jets knew that they had milked the clock, and it was because of that run game that did the Cardinals in right at the end.
And from what we understand, it was that last sequence there. Do you let them score? Do you not let them score? They ended up being the impetus, the catalyst for Kerry Rhodes and Darnell Dockett exchanging words or whatever the incident consisted of.
Right, yeah, and that's apparently what it was. And, you know, do we know all the details? We're probably not going to know all the details unless Darnell and Kerry decide to give them out, and I don't expect that to happen. Kerry made very clear, I know, you know, the national report was that Darnell spit on him. Kerry made very clear yesterday that did not happen. You know, obviously you don't want to have anything going on like that with your team, and it's too bad, because that defense has played so well together. You hate to see stuff like that. But at the same time, and it's not right. I don't want to excuse anything. I mean, if it elevated to the point where discipline is even discussed, obviously, it's a big deal, but I mean, Wolf, you played this game. Teammates get in fights all the time,
yes.
Especially during close games where you've been struggling anyways. I mean, that's kind of where I look at it from.
Well, I can tell you right now that I was in an offensive huddle that needed to be separated because I was in it with one of my teammates. And Neil Lomax, as a matter of fact. Yeah, Neil Lomax had to get in the middle of it. And boy, when the big man spoke, you know what? I was as fired up as I may have been, I listened. And I can also tell you that even in the locker room, I mean, I have not only witnessed in the course of my 10 years all sorts of screaming matches, dare I say pushing matches, but I have been involved in some of this stuff where I may or may not have had a linebacker pinned in a locker and was choking him. You know, I say that, and I'm trying to impress upon people that, yeah, it's a big deal. And if, in fact, disciplinary action comes down on Darnell Dockett, it tells me that he did something egregious. He did something to instigate it. He did something. Maybe he didn't let it go. I have no idea. But the fact that it happens surprises me zilch. Yeah. It happens all the time.
Well, get ready, gentlemen, for the deafening roar that is False Start Field. It is going to be quite the road test for the Cardinals and the rookie offensive tackles. Very curious because they've been progressing. I'm curious to see what sort of test and how they take that test against Seattle and how that all comes out. For Ron Wolfley, Darren Urban, Jim Omohundro, I'm Paul Calvisi. Yes, it is Cardinals Underground and azcardinals.com, brought to you by Ram Trucks, Guts, Glory, Ram. It's all